and I sit down on the edge of the chair, closest to where she is on the ground. I'm slightly afraid of what she wants to talk about, but I need to know what's going on with her, so I wait with my mouth shut for her to speak.
Sometimes I feel like everyone else gets what I want,
she mumbles, embarrassed. Tessa would feel guilty for saying the way she feels. I can barely make out her words when she says,
It's not that I'm not happy for them,
but I can all too clearly see the tears gathering in her eyes. For the life of me, I can't figure out what the hell she's talking about, though Kimberly and Vance's engagement pops into my mind. Is this about Kimberly and Vance? Because if it is, you shouldn't want what they have. He's a liar and a cheater, and... I stop before finishing the sentence with something horrible.
He loves her so much, though,
Tessa murmurs. Her fingers trace patterns against the concrete under her. I love you more, I say without thinking. My words have the opposite effect from what I hoped, and Tessa whimpers. Literally whimpers and wraps her arms around her knees. It's true. I do.
You only love me sometimes,
she says, as if that is the one thing she knows for sure in this world. Bullshit! You know that's not true.
It feels that way,
she whispers, looking out toward the sea. I wish it were daylight so the view could possibly help soothe her, since I'm obviously not doing a good job at that. I know. I know it might feel that way. I can admit that's how she probably experiences it now.
You'll love someone all the time. Later.
What? What are you talking about?
The next time. You'll love her all the time.
In this moment, I have a strange vision of me thinking back to this exact moment 50 years from now, reliving all over again the sharp pain that accompanies her words. The feeling is overwhelming, and it's so obvious. It's never been more obvious. She has given up on me. On us. There isn't a next time! I can't help the way my voice is rising, the way my blood is burning just beneath the surface, threatening to rip me open right here on this damn patio.
There is. I'm your Trish.
What is she going on about? I know she's drunk, but what does my mum have to do with this?
You're Trish. It's me. You'll have a Karen, too, and she can give you a baby.
Tessa wipes under her eyes, and I slide off the chair to kneel next to her on the ground. I don't know what you're saying, but you're wrong. My arms wrap around her shoulders just as she begins to sob. I can't make out her words, but I hear...
Baby, Karen, Trish, Ken.
Damn Kimberly for keeping so much wine in the house. I don't know what Karen or Trish or any other name you'll throw out there has to do with us. She pushes against my shoulders, but I tighten my grip on her. She may not want me, but right now she needs me. You're Tessa, and I'm Harden. End of...
Karen's pregnant.
Tessa sobs into my chest.
She's having a baby.
So? I move my cast-covered hand up and down her back, unsure what to say or do with this version of Tessa.
I went to the doctor.
She cries, and I freeze. Holy fucking shit. And? I try not to panic. She doesn't answer in an actual language. Her response comes out in some form of a drunken cry, and I take a moment to try to think clearly. She's obviously not pregnant. If she were, she wouldn't be drinking. I know Tessa, and I know she would never, ever do something like that. She's obsessed with the idea of being a mother one day. She wouldn't endanger her unborn child. She lets me hold her while she calms herself down.
Would you want to?
Tessa asks minutes later. Her body is still heaving in my arms, but the tears have stopped.
What? Have a baby.
She rubs at her eyes and I flinch. No. I shake my head. I don't want a baby with you. Her eyes close and she whimpers again. I replay the words in my head and realize how they sounded. I didn't mean it like that. I just don't want kids. You know that. She sniffles and nods, still quiet.
Your Karen can give you a baby,
she says, her eyes still closed, and leans her head against my chest. I'm still as confused as ever. I draw a connection to Karen and my father, but I don't want to entertain the idea that Tessa thinks she's my beginning, not my ending. I wrap my arms around her waist and lift her from the ground, saying, All right, it's time for you to go to bed. She doesn't fight me this time.
It's true. You said it once.
She mumbles and wraps her thighs around my waist, making it easier to carry her through the sliding door and down the hallway. Said what?
There can be no happy end to it.
She quotes my previous words. Fucking Hemingway and his shitty outlook on life. That was a stupid thing for me to say. I didn't mean it. I promise her.
I love you enough now. What do you want to do? Ruin me?
She quotes the bastard again. Leave it to Tessa to have perfect recall while she's too drunk to even stand. Shh, we can quote Hemingway when you're sober.
All things truly wicked start from innocence,
she says against my neck, arms tightening across my back as I push her bedroom door open. I used to love that line, as I never understood the meaning. I thought I did, but it's not until now, when I'm living the fucking meaning, that I actually get it. My mind growing heavy with guilt, I gently lay her on the bed and toss the pillows to the floor, leaving one for her head. Scoot up, I softly command. She doesn't have her eyes open, and I can tell she's close to sleep, finally. I leave the light off, hoping she will sleep the rest of the night.
Staying,
she says, drawing the word out. Do you want me to stay? I can sleep in another room, I offer, even though I don't want to. She's so off, so detached from herself, that I'm almost afraid to leave her alone. She mumbles, reaching for the blanket. She tugs at the corner and huffs in frustration when she can't get the fabric loose enough to cover herself. After I help cover her, I take my shoes off and climb into the bed with her. While I'm debating how much space to leave between our bodies, she wraps a bare thigh around my waist, pulling me closer. I can breathe. Finally, I can fucking breathe. I was scared you weren't going to be okay, I admit into the silence of the dark room.
Me, too,
she agrees in a broken voice. I push my arm under her head, and she shifts her hips, turning into me and tightening her leg around my body. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what I did to her that made her this way. Yes, yes, I do. I treated her like shit and took advantage of her kindness. I used up chance after chance, like the supply would never end. I took the trust she gave me and ripped it up like it meant nothing and threw it in her face every time I felt like I wasn't good enough for her. If I would have just accepted her love from the beginning, accepted her trust and cherished the life she tried to breathe into me, she wouldn't be this way now. She wouldn't be lying next to me drunk and upset, defeated and destroyed by me. She fixed me. She glued the tiny fragments of my fucked-up soul into something impossible, something almost attractive even. She made me into something. She made me normal, almost. But with each drop of glue she used on me, she lost that drop of herself. And me being the piece of shit I am, didn't have anything to offer her. Everything that I feared would happen has happened. And no matter how much I tried to prevent it, I see now that I made it worse. I changed her and ruined her, just the way I promised I would all those months ago. It seems insane. I'm truly sorry that I ruined you. I whisper into her hair as her breathing begins to show signs of sleep.
Me too.
She breathes, and regret fills in the little spaces between us as she drifts off.
Chapter 53. Tessa. Buzzing. All I can hear is constant buzzing, and my head feels as if it will explode at any moment. And it's hot. Too hot. Harden's weight is heavy. His cast is pressing down on my stomach, and I have to pee. Harden. I lift his arm and wiggle, literally, out from under his body. The first thing I do is grab his phone off the nightstand to stop the buzzing. Text messages and calls from Christian fill the screen. I reply with a simple, "We are fine," and turn his phone to silent before walking to the bathroom. My heart is heavy in my chest, and the remnants of last night's alcohol abuse are swimming through my veins. I shouldn't have had that much wine. I should have stopped after the first bottle. Or second, or third. I don't remember falling asleep, and I can't remember how Harden came to be here. A muddled memory of his voice through the phone surfaces, but it's hard to make out, and I'm not fully convinced it actually happened. But he's here now, asleep in my bed, so I suppose the details don't really matter. I lean my hip against the sink and turn on the cold water. I splash some across my face like they do in the movies, but it doesn't work. It doesn't wake me up or clear my thoughts. It only makes yesterday's mascara bleed even farther down my face.
Tessa?
Harden's voice calls. I shut the faucet off and meet him in the hallway. Hey, I say, avoiding his eyes.
Why are you up? You just fell asleep 2 hours ago.
I couldn't sleep, I guess. I shrug my shoulders, hating the awkward tension I feel in his presence.
How are you feeling? You drank a lot last night.
I follow him back into the bedroom and close the door behind me. He sits on the edge of the bed and I climb back under the covers. I don't feel like facing the day right now. That's okay, though, since the sun hasn't even decided to come out yet. I have a headache, I admit.
I'm sure. You were throwing up half the night, baby.
I cringe while remembering Harden holding my hair back, rubbing his hand across my shoulders to comfort me while I emptied my stomach into the toilet. Dr. West's voice, delivering bad news, the worst news, pushes through my aching head. Did I drunkenly share the news with Harden? Oh, no. I hope not. What did I say last night? I ask, treading lightly. He exhales and runs his hand through his hair.
You were going on about Karen and my mum. I don't even want to know what that meant.
He grimaces, and I assume it matches my own expression. Is that all? I hope it is.
Basically. Oh, and you were quoting Hemingway.
He smiles a little, and I'm reminded just how charming he can be. I wasn't. I cover my face with my hands in embarrassment.
You were.
A soft laugh falls from his lips, and I peek through my hands to look at him as he adds,
You are also saying that you accept my apology and you will give me another chance.
His eyes meet mine through my fingers, and I can't seem to look away. He's good. Really good. Liar. I'm not sure if I want to laugh or cry. Here we are again, in the middle of our same old back and forth, push and pull. I can't ignore that it feels different this time, but I also know that I can't be trusted to judge this. It always seemed to feel different each time he made a promise that he couldn't keep.
Do you want to talk about what happened last night? Because I hated seeing you that way. You weren't yourself. It really scared me when I was on the phone with you.
I'm fine.
You were plastered. You drank yourself to sleep outside on the patio, and there are empty bottles across the entire house.
It's not fun finding someone that way, huh? I feel like a jerk as soon as the words are out. His shoulders drop.
No, it's really not.
I'm reminded of the nights, and sometimes even the days, when I found Harden drunk. Drunkharden always brought along with him some broken lamps, holes in walls, and nasty words that were sure to cut deep.
"That won't ever happen again," he says, answering my thoughts.
"I wasn't," I begin to lie, but he knows me too well.
"Yes, you were. It's okay. I deserve it."
Either way, it wasn't fair of me to throw it in your face. I need to learn to forgive Harden, or neither of us will ever have peace in our lives after this. I didn't realize it had been vibrating, but he lifts his phone from the nightstand and presses it to his ear. I close my eyes to relieve some of the throbbing as he curses Christian out. I wave my hand, trying to get him to stop, but he ignores me, rushing to tell Christian what an asshole he is.
"Well, you should have fucking answered. If something would have happened to her, I would have held you fucking responsible."
Harden growls into the phone, and I try to block his voice out. "I'm fine. I drank a little too much because I had a bad day, but I'm fine now. What's the harm in that?" When he hangs up, I feel the mattress dip next to me, and he pushes my hand away from my eyes.
"He says he's sorry for not coming home to check on you,"
Harden says, inches from my face. I can see the stubble across his jaw and chin. I don't know if it's because I'm still a little intoxicated or just plain crazy, but I reach up and run my finger across the line of his jaw. My action surprises him, and his eyes glaze over, almost crossing as I caress his skin.
"What are we doing?"
He leans even closer. "I don't know," I answer, with the only truth that I know. I have no clue what we are doing, what I am doing, when it comes to Harden. I never have. Inside, I'm sad and hurt, and I feel betrayed by my own body and the essential nature of karma and life in general. But on the surface, I know that Harden can make it all go away. Even if only temporarily, he can make me forget all of the worries. He can clear all of the chaos from my mind the way I used to do for him. Now I get it. I get what he meant when he said he needed me all of those times. I get why he used me the way he did. "I don't want to use you."
"What?"
he asks, confused. "I want you to make me forget everything, but I don't want to use you. I want to be close to you right now, but I haven't changed my mind about the rest," I ramble out, hoping he will understand what I don't know how to say. He leans up on one elbow and looks down at me.
"I don't care how or why, but if you want me in any way, you don't need to explain. I'm already yours."
His lips are so close to mine, and I could so easily just lift my head slightly to touch them. "I'm sorry." I turn my head. I can't use him this way, but mostly I can't pretend that that's all it would be. It wouldn't just be a physical distraction from my problems. It would be more, much more. I love him still, even though I sometimes wish I didn't. I wish I were stronger, that I could brush this off as a simple distraction. No feelings, no wanting more, only sex. But my heart and conscience won't allow it. As hurt as I am by my ideal futures being ripped away from me, I can't use him this way, especially now that he seems to be making such an effort. It would hurt him so bad. While I'm battling myself, he rolls his body onto mine and collects both of my wrists into one of his hands. "What are you..." He lifts my hands above my head.
"I know what you were thinking."
He presses his lips to my neck, and my body takes over. My neck rolls to the side, giving him easier access to the sensitive skin there. "It's not fair to you," I gasp, when his teeth pull at the skin just under my ear. He releases his grip on my wrists, only long enough to pull my t-shirt over my head and toss it onto the floor.
"This isn't fair. Your even allowing me to touch you after all I've done isn't fair to you, but I want it. I want you. I always want you, and I know you're fighting it, but you want me to distract you. Let me."
He pushes his weight onto me, his hips pinning me to the mattress in a dominating and demanding way that has my head swimming faster than last night's wine. His knee slides between my thighs, and he opens them.
"Don't think about me. Only think about you and what you want."
"Okay," I nod, moaning when his knee rubs between my legs.
"I love you. Don't ever feel bad about letting me show you that."
He speaks such soft words, but his hands are rough, as one of them keeps both of my hands pinned to the bed, and the other pushes into my panties.
"So wet,"
he groans, moving his finger up and down the moisture there. I try to hold still as he brings his finger to my mouth, pushing it past my lips.
So sweet, isn't it?
He doesn't allow me to respond before he frees my hands and positions his head between my legs. His tongue swipes across me, and I push my fingers into his hair. With each stroke of his tongue across my clit, I am lost in this place with him. I'm no longer clouded by darkness. I'm no longer pissed off. I'm not focusing on regrets and mistakes. I'm only focused on my body and his. I'm focused on the way he groans against me when I pull his hair. I'm focused on the way my nails leave angry little lines across his shoulder blades as he pushes two fingers inside me. I can only focus on his touching me, every part of me, inside and out, in a way that no one else ever could. I focus on the sharp intake of his breath as I beg him to turn around and let me please him while he pleases me. The way he pushes his jeans to the floor and nearly rips his shirt off in his hurry to touch me again. I focus on the way he lifts me on top of him, my face opposite his cock. I focus on the way we've never done this before, but I love the way he moans my name when I take him into my mouth. I focus on the way his fingers dig into my hips as he licks me and I suck him. I focus on the way I can feel the pressure building inside me, and I focus on the dirty things he's saying to bring me over the edge. I come first, followed by him filling my mouth, and I nearly collapse from the relief that my body feels after my release. I try not to focus on the way I don't feel guilty for allowing his touch as a distraction from my pain. Thank you, I breathe into his chest when he pulls me to lie across him.
No, thank you.
He smiles down at me and presses a kiss to my bare shoulder.
Are you going to tell me what's been bothering you?
No. I trace my fingertip over the black ink of the tree on his chest.
Fine. Will you marry me?
His body moves with soft laughter underneath me. No. I swat at him, hoping he's only teasing.
Fine. Will you move in with me?
No. I move my finger to another group of tattoos, tracing the heart-shaped end of the infinity symbol drawn there.
I'll take that as a maybe.
He chuckles, wrapping his arm around my back.
Will you let me take you to dinner tonight?
No, I answer too quickly. He laughs.
I'll take that as a yes.
His laughter is cut short when the sound of the front door opening echoes through the house and voices fill the hall. Shit, we both say at the same time. He looks up at me, puzzled by my language, and I shrug at him before digging through my drawers to get dressed. Chapter 54. Tessa. The tension in the air is so thick that I swear Kimberly opened the window for that reason alone. Across the living room, we exchange sympathetic looks.
It's not that hard to answer the phone or at least respond with a text. I drove all the way here, and you just got back to me an hour ago,
Harden says furiously, scolding Christian. I sigh, as does Kimberly. I'm sure she's also wondering just how many times Harden is going to repeat that I drove all the way here sentence.
I said I was sorry. We were downtown, and apparently my phone decided not to have service.
Christian wheels his chair past Harden.
These things do happen, Harden. The best-laid plans of mice and men and all that.
Harden gives Christian one of his patented glares before rounding the island and standing next to me. I think he gets it, I whisper to him.
Yeah, well, he better.
Harden continues glowering, earning an annoyed grimace from his biological father. You're in a mood today, considering what we just did, I tease Harden, hoping to ease his anger. He leans into me, hope taking the place of the anger in his eyes.
What time do you want to leave for dinner?
Dinner? Kimberly interrupts. I turn to her, knowing exactly what she's thinking. It's not like that.
Yes, it is,
Harden says. Between her nosiness and his smug grin, I want to slap the both of them. Of course I want to go to dinner with Harden. Since the day I met him, I have wanted to be near him. But I'm not giving in to Harden. I'm not throwing myself back into the cycle of our destructive relationship. We need to talk. Really talk about everything that has happened and my plans for the future. The future as in New York in 3 weeks with Landon. There have been too many secrets between us. Too many avoidable blowouts when said secrets were revealed in the worst way, and I don't want this to be one of those situations. It's time to be mature, get a backbone, and tell Harden what I plan to do. It's my life, my choice. He doesn't have to approve. No one does. But I owe it to him to at least tell him the truth before he finds out from someone else. We can go whenever you want, I quietly respond, ignoring Kimberly's smirk. He smiles down at my wrinkled t-shirt and loose sweats.
You're wearing that, right?
I didn't have time to pay attention to what I was covering myself with. I was too occupied with the idea of Kimberly's knocking on my door and catching us with no clothes on. Hush. I roll my eyes and walk away from him. I can hear him following me, but I close the bathroom door behind me, locking it. He tries the handle, and I hear him laugh before a quiet thud sounds against the wood. The image of him hitting his head against the door makes me smile. Without a word to him from the other side of the door, I turn the shower on and remove my clothes and step in before the water has a chance to heat.
Chapter 55. Harden. Kimberly is standing in the kitchen with her hand on her hip. How charming.
Dinner, eh?
Eh? I mock her, walking past her like it's my house instead of hers. Don't look at me like that. Her heels click behind me.
I should have put money on how fast you would be here.
She pulls the refrigerator open.
I told Christian on the way home that your car would be in our driveway.
Yeah, I get it. I glance down the hall, hoping that Tessa makes it a quick shower, and wishing I were in the shower with her. Hell, I would be happy if she just let me sit in the bathroom, on the floor even, and listen to her talk while she bathes. I miss showering with her. I miss the way she pinches her eyes closed, too tight, and keeps them screwed shut the entire time she washes her hair. You know, just in case shampoo gets into her eyes. I teased her over it once, and she opened her eyes, only to get a big puff of soap in them. I didn't hear the end of it until hours later, when her eyes were finally rid of the red rings.
What's so funny?
Kimberly places a carton of eggs on the island in front of me. I didn't realize I was laughing. I was so consumed by the memory of Tessa's glaring and scowling at me, puffy red eyes and all.
Nothing.
I wave Kimberly off. The counter is being filled with every type of food imaginable, and Kimberly even slides a cup of coffee, black, in front of me.
What's with you?
You're being nice to me so I won't keep reminding your fiancé what a prick he is. I raise the suspicious coffee cup into the air. She laughs.
No, I'm always nice to you. I just don't take your shit like everyone else, but I'm always nice to you.
I nod, not knowing what to say next in the conversation. Is that what's happening here? I'm having a conversation with Tessa's most obnoxious friend, the same woman who happens to be marrying my fuck-up of a sperm donor. She cracks an egg on the side of a glass bowl.
I'm not so bad once you get past that whole hating-the-world thing you have going on.
I look up at her. She's annoying, but she's loyal as hell. I'll give her that. Loyalty is hard to come by, even more so lately. And oddly enough, I find myself thinking about Landon, and how he seems to be the only person, besides Tessa, who's loyal to me. He's been here for me in a way that I didn't expect, and I definitely didn't expect to somewhat like it, rely on it, even. With all this shit going on in my life, and the struggle to keep myself on the right path, the path lined with fucking rainbows and flowers, and all the shit that leads to a life with Tessa, it's nice to know Landon is there if I need him. He's leaving soon, and that fucking sucks. But I know that even from New York City, he will be loyal. He may take Tessa's side most of the time, but he's always honest with me. He doesn't keep shit from me, the way everyone else does.
Plus,
Kimberly starts, but bites down on her lip to stop herself from laughing.
We're family!
And just like that, she's back on my damn nerves. Funny! I roll my eyes. If I had been the one to say it, it would have been. but she just had to ruin the silence. She turns away from me to pour the egg batter shit into a pan on the stove.
I'm known for my humor.
Actually, you're known for your big-ass mouth. But if thinking you're funny works, fine.
All joking aside,
she looks at me over her shoulder.
I do hope you will consider talking to Christian before you leave. He's been really upset and worried that your relationship with him is ruined permanently. I wouldn't blame you if it was. I'm just letting you know.
Her eyes leave mine, and she continues cooking, allowing me time to gather a response. Should I even give her one? I'm not ready to talk yet, I eventually say. For a second, I'm not sure if she heard me. But then she nods her head, and I can see the edges of a smile when she turns to grab another ingredient. What feels like 3 hours later, Tessa finally emerges from the bathroom. Her hair is dry and pulled away from her face with a thin headband. It doesn't take long to notice that she put makeup on. She could have done without the makeup, but I guess it's a good sign that she's trying to return to normalcy. I stare at her for too long, and she shifts back and forth under my stare. I love the way she's dressed today. Flat shoes, a pink tank top, and a skirt covered in flowers. Fucking beautiful. That's what she is. Lunch instead? I ask, not wanting to be away from her at all today.
Kimberly made breakfast?
She whispers to me. So? It's probably shitty anyway. I wave at the food covering the counter. It doesn't look bad, I guess, but she's no Karen.
Don't say that.
Tessa smiles, and I almost repeat the sentence to earn another smile. Fine. We will take a plate to go and then can toss it when we get outside, I suggest. She ignores me, but I hear her telling Kimberly to save some leftovers for us to eat later. Harden one, Kimberly and her shitty food and annoying questions, nil. The drive through downtown Seattle isn't bad as usual. Tessa is quiet, like I knew she would be. I feel her eyes on me every few minutes, but every time I look at her, she quickly turns away. For lunch, I choose a small, modern-style restaurant, and when we pull into a nearly empty lot, I know this means one of two things. Either they just opened minutes ago and the crowd hasn't started yet, or the food is shit so no one eats here. Hoping for the first, we go through the glass doors and Tessa's eyes study the place. The decor is nice, whimsical, and she seems to like it, which reminds me just how much I love her reaction to the simplest things. Harden two. Not that I'm keeping score or anything, but if I were, I'd be winning. We sit in silence while we wait to place our orders. The waiter is a young college kid who's nervous and has some sort of eye contact issue. He doesn't seem to want to look into my eyes, the asshole. Tessa orders something that I've never heard of, and I order the first thing I see on the menu that I have. A pregnant woman is seated at the table next to us, and I watch Tessa stare at the woman for just a beat too long.
Hey.
I clear my throat to get her attention. I don't know if you even remember what I said last night, but if you do, I'm sorry. When I said I didn't want a baby with you, I just meant I don't want kids at all. But who knows? My heart begins to pound against my ribs. Maybe one day or something. I can't believe I just said that. And by Tessa's expression, she can't either. Her mouth is wide open and her hand is in the air, holding her glass of water.
What?
She blinks.
What did you just say?
Why did I say that? I mean, I meant it, I think. I could maybe think about it. I don't like kids or babies or teenagers. But then again, I don't like adults either. I pretty much only like Tessa, so maybe a little version of her wouldn't be so bad. I'm just saying, maybe it wouldn't be so bad, I shrug, hiding the panic inside me. Her mouth is still open. I'm beginning to think that I should lean across and hold her jaw for her. Obviously not any time soon. I'm no idiot. I know you have to finish college and all that shit.
But you...
I've shocked her out of words, apparently.
I know what I said before, but I also never dated anyone, never loved anyone, never gave a shit about anyone. So I think this could be like that. I think after some time, I could change my mind. If you'll give me the chance.
I allow her a few seconds to collect herself. But she just sits there, mouth open, eyes wide.
I still have work to do. You still don't trust me. I know that. We have college to finish, and I still have to convince you to marry me first.
I'm rambling, searching for something that will catch her and make her mine in this moment.
Not that we have to be married first. I'm no gentleman.
A nervous laugh leaves my mouth, which finally seems to snap Tessa back into reality.
We couldn't,
she says, all colour drained from her face.
We could. No.
I hold my hand up to keep her quiet.
We could, though. I love you and I want a life with you. I don't give a shit if you're young and I'm young, and if I'm too wrong for you and you're too right for me. I fucking love you. I know I've made mistakes.
I run my hand over my hair. I glance around the small restaurant, and I'm fully aware that the pregnant lady is staring at me. Doesn't she have a baby thing to do? Eat for two? Pump some milk? I don't have a clue, but she's making me nervous for some reason. Like she's judging me, and she's pregnant, and it's just plain fucking weird. Why did I choose a public place to spill this shit?
And I also know that I've said the same speech probably 30 times, but you have to know I'm not fucking around anymore. I want you, always. Fights, makeups, hell, you can even break up with me and move out of our place once a week. Just promise me you'll come back, and I won't even complain about it.
I take a few breaths and look across the table at her.
Well, I won't complain much.
Harden, I can't believe you're saying all of this.
She leans in, her voice a whisper.
It's everything I wanted.
Her eyes fill with tears. Happy tears, I hope.
But we can't have children together. We aren't even...
I know.
I can't help but interrupt her.
I know you haven't forgiven me yet, and I'll be patient. I swear it. I won't be too pushy. I just want you to know that I can be who you need. I can give you what you want. And not only because you want it, but because I want it too.
She opens her mouth to respond, but the goddamn waiter returns with our food. He sits the steaming plate of whatever the hell Tessa ordered and my burger in front of us, and lingers there awkwardly.
Do you need something?
I snap at him. It's not his fault that I'm pouring out my hopes of a future to this woman and he's interrupting, but he's here and he's wasting my time with her by standing here.
No, sir. Do you need anything else?
He asks, cheeks red.
No, thank you so much for asking.
Tessa smiles up at him, easing his embarrassment and making up for my asshole tendencies. He returns a smile to her and finally disappears.
Anyway, I was basically just saying everything that I should have said a long time ago.
Sometimes I forget that you can't hear my thoughts. You don't know all the things I think about you. I wish you did. You would love me more if you did.
I don't think it would be possible for me to love you more than I do.
She twists her fingers in her hands.
Really?
I smile at her, and she nods.
But I need to tell you something. I don't know how you'll take it.
Her voice catches at the end, making me panic. I know she's given up on us, but I can change her mind. I know I can. I feel a determination that I never felt before, never knew existed.
Go on.
I force myself to say as neutrally as possible, then take a bite of the burger. It's the only way to keep my damn mouth shut.
You know I went to the doctor.
Images of her crying while mumbling about her doctor fill my head. Is everything still okay over here? The fucking waiter asks, popping over. How's everything taste? Would you like more water, miss? Is he fucking serious? We are fine! I growl at him, literally growl, like a rabid fucking dog. He pisses off, and Tessa lifts her finger to her empty glass. Shit. Here. I slide mine over to her, and she smiles, then gulps the water down. You were saying?
We can talk about it later.
She takes the first bite of her food since it arrived in front of her. Oh, no, you don't. I know this trick. I invented this trick. After you get some food into your belly, you'll tell me. Please. She takes another bite, trying to distract me. But nope, it's not going to work. I want to know what her doctor said, and why it's making her act so strange. If we weren't in public, it would be much easier to get her to talk. I don't give a shit about making a scene, but I know she will be embarrassed, so I'll play nice. I can do this. I can balance being nice and cooperative and not feel like a total fucking tool. I let her get away with another 5 minutes of silence, and soon she's picking at her food aimlessly. Are you finished?
It's...
She glances down at the plate full of food. What?
It's not very good,
she whispers, looking around to be sure no one can hear. I laugh. Is that what has you all flushed and whispering?
Hush.
She swats at the air between us.
I'm so hungry, but the food's so bad. I don't even know what it is. I just pointed at something because I was nervous.
I'll tell them you want something else. I get to my feet, and she reaches across to grab my arm.
No, it's okay. I'm ready to go.
Cool. We'll just hit a drive-thru and get something for you. And you can tell me what the hell is going on in that head of yours. It's driving me insane, guessing. She nods, looking a little insane herself. Chapter 56. Harden. One drive-through taco joint later, Tessa is full, and my patience is withering with each silent moment between us. I freaked you out talking about kids, didn't I? I know I'm laying a lot of shit on you at once, but I've spent the last 8 months keeping shit in, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to tell her the crazy shit inside my head. I want to tell her that I want to stare at the cheesy way the sun hits her hair in the passenger seat until I can't see anymore. I want to listen to her moan and close her eyes when she takes a bite of a taco that I swear tastes like cardboard but she loves until I can't hear anymore. I want to tease her about the spot just below her knee that she always misses when she shaves her legs until I lose my voice.
It's not that,
she interrupts me. And I look up from staring at her legs.
Then what is it?
Let me guess. You are already questioning marriage. Now you don't want kids either.
No, that's not it.
I fucking hope not, because you know damn well you'll make the best mum ever. She whimpers, holding her hands over her stomach.
I can't.
We can.
No, Harden, I can't.
The way her eyes look down at her belly and her hands makes me thankful we are parked. I would have swerved off the damn road. The doctor, the crying, the whine, the freaking out about Karen and her baby, the constant can't from today.
You can't.
I understand exactly what she means. It's because of me, isn't it? I did something to you, didn't I? I don't know what I could have done. But that's the way this works. Something bad happens to Tessa because of something I did. Always.
No, no. You didn't do anything. It's something inside of me that isn't right.
Her lips tremble. Oh. I wish I could say something else. Something better. Anything, really.
Yeah.
She rubs her hand over the bottom of her stomach, and I can feel the air disappearing from the small space of my car. As fucked up as it is, as fucked up as I am, my chest feels like it's caving in, and little brown-haired girls with blue-grey eyes, little blonde boys with green eyes, little bonnet things and tiny socks with little animals, all kinds of shit that used to make me want to vomit repeatedly, swirl through my mind, and I feel dizzy as they are torn away, tossed into the air, and carried off to wherever ruined futures go to die.
It's possible. I mean, there's a very slim chance. And there would be a high risk for miscarriage. And my hormone levels are all messed up, so I don't think I could ever torture myself by trying. I wouldn't be able to handle losing a baby, or trying for years with no result. It's just not in the cards for me to be a mother, I guess.
She's spitting this shit out, trying to make me feel better. But it's not convincing me, not making her seem like she has it under control when it's obvious that she doesn't. She's looking at me, expecting me to say something, but I can't. I don't know what to say to her, and I can't help the anger I feel toward her. It's fucking stupid and selfish and absolutely fucking wrong, but it's there, and I'm terrified that if I open my mouth, I will say something I shouldn't. If I weren't such an asshole, I would comfort her. I would hold her and tell her it will be okay, that we don't need to have kids. We can adopt or something. Anything. But this is how reality works. Men aren't literary heroes. They don't change overnight, and no one does anything right here in the real world. I'm no Darcy, and she's no Elizabeth. She's on the verge of tears when she squeaks out,
"Say something."
I don't know what to say. My voice is barely audible, and my throat is closing. I feel like I've swallowed a handful of bees.
"You didn't want kids anyway, right? I didn't think it would make such a difference."
If I look over, I will find her crying. "I didn't think so. But now that it's been taken away..."
"Oh."
I'm thankful for that, because who knows what the fuck would have come out next.
"You can just take me back to the..."
I nod and put the car into drive. It's fucked up how something you never wanted can hurt this way. "I'm sorry, I just..." I stop. Neither of us seems to be able to finish a sentence.
"It's okay, I understand."
She leans into the window, and I suspect that she's trying to get as far away from me as she can. My emotions are telling me to comfort her, to think of her and how this is affecting her and how she feels about it. But my head is strong, so fucking strong, and I'm pissed. Not at her, but her body and her mum for whatever she was born with that doesn't work right. I'm pissed at the world for slapping me in the damn face again. And I'm pissed at myself for not being able to say anything to her as we drive through the city. A few minutes later, I realize that the silence is so loud it hurts. Tess is trying to stay quiet on her side of the car, but I can hear her breathing. The way she's trying to control it, to control her emotions. My chest is so fucking tight, and she's just sitting there, letting my words stew in her mind. Why do I always do this shit to her? I always say the wrong thing no matter how many times I promise that I won't. No matter how many times I promise that I will change. I always do this. I pull away and leave her to deal with the shit herself. Not again. I can't do it again. She needs me more than ever. And this is my chance to show her that I can be here the way she needs. Tessa doesn't look at me as I turn the wheel and pull over to the side of the highway. I turn my hazard lights on and hope that a damn cop doesn't come and start shit. "Tess." I attempt to get her attention while I scramble through my thoughts. She doesn't look up from her hands in her lap. "Tessa, please look at me." I reach my hand across the console to touch her, but she jerks away and her hand smacks against the door loudly. Hey! I take off my seatbelt and turn toward her, taking both of her wrists into one of my hands, the way I do so often.
I'm fine.
She raises her chin slightly to prove her point, but the moisture in her eyes tells another story.
You shouldn't be parked here. This is a busy highway.
I don't give a shit about where I am parked. I'm fucked up. My head isn't right. I stumble for the words to make sense. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have reacted like that. After a few beats, she lowers her eyes to me, staring at my face but avoiding my eyes.
Tess, don't shut down again, please. I'm so sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I never even considered having kids anyway, and here I am, making you feel bad for this shit.
The confession sounds even worse as the words fall between us.
You're allowed to be upset too,
she quietly responds.
I just needed you to say something. Anything.
The last word is so low that it's barely audible.
I don't care that you can't have kids,
I blurt.
Fucking hell. I mean, I don't care about our kids that we can't have.
I'm trying to rub salve onto the wound I've created, but her expression lets me know I'm doing the opposite.
What I'm trying, and utterly fucking failing to accomplish, to say is that I love you, and I'm an insensitive prick for not being present for you just now. I put myself first, as always, and I'm sorry.
My words seem to pull her out of herself, and she brings her eyes to mine.
Thank you.
She pulls one of her wrists from my hand, and I hesitate to let it go. But I'm relieved when she raises her hand to wipe her eyes.
I'm sorry that you feel like I took something from you.
But I can tell she has more to say.
Don't hold back. I know you. Say what you need to say. I hate the way you reacted,
she huffs.
I know, I'm...
She puts a hand in the air.
I wasn't finished.
Tessa clears her throat.
I have wanted to be a mother since I can remember. I was just like every other girl with her dolls, maybe more so. Being a mother was so important to me. I never, ever questioned or worried that I may not be able to be one. I know, I... Please, let me talk.
She grinds her teeth. I really should shut up for once. Instead of responding, I nod and stay silent.
I'm feeling this incredible loss right now, and I don't have the energy to worry about you blaming me. It's okay for you to feel the loss too. I want you to always be open with how you feel. But you haven't had any of your dreams crushed here. You didn't want children until 10 minutes ago, and so I don't find it fair for you to be this way.
I wait a few seconds and raise a brow at her, seeking her permission to speak. She nods, but then the loud horn of a semi blares through the air, making her nearly jump out of the car. I'm going to drive back to Vance's, I say, but I would like to come in and be with you. Tessa looks out of the window, but gives me a small nod. I mean, in a comforting way, like I should have been. With a gesture just as slight as her nod, I catch her rolling her eyes.
Chapter 57. Tessa. Hardin shares an awkward glance with Vance as we pass him in the hallway. It's strange having Hardin here with me after everything that has happened. I can't ignore the effort and restraint he's showing by coming to this house, Vance's house. It's hard to focus on just one of the many problems that have cropped up of late. Hardin's behavior in London, Vance and Trish, my father's death, my fertility issues. It's too much, and it seems never-ending. In a way, the relief I feel after telling Hardin about the infertility is huge, massive. But there's always something else waiting to be revealed or thrown at one of us. And New York is that next thing. I don't know if I should just say it now that we already have an issue between us. I hate the way Hardin reacted, but I'm thankful for the remorse he showed after his callous dismissal of my feelings. If he wouldn't have pulled the car over and apologized, I don't think I could have found it in myself to speak to him again. I can't count the times that I've said, thought, sworn those words since I met him. I owe it to myself to think that I mean them this time.
"What are you thinking?"
he asks, closing my bedroom door behind him. Without hesitation, I answer honestly, that I wouldn't speak to you again.
"What?"
He steps toward me, and I back away from him. If you wouldn't have apologized, I wouldn't have anything to say to you. He sighs, running his hand over his hair.
I know.
I can't stop thinking of what he said. I didn't think so, but now that it's been taken away. I'm still in shock from it. I'm sure of it. I never expected to hear those words from him. It didn't seem possible that he would change his mind. Then again, true to the dysfunction of our relationship, his mind was only changed after tragedy.
Come here.
Hardin's arms open to me, and I hesitate.
Please let me comfort you the way I should have. Let me talk to you and listen to you. I'm sorry.
Per usual, I'm stepping into his arms. They feel different now, more solid, more real than before. He tightens his embrace around my body, resting his cheek against the top of my head. His hair, too long on the sides now, tickles my skin, and I feel him place a kiss onto my hair.
Tell me how you feel about all of this. Tell me everything you haven't told me about it,
he says, pulling me to sit next to him on the bed. I cross my legs and he leans his back against the headboard. I tell him everything. I tell him about my first appointment to get on birth control. I tell him that I have known about the possibility of a problem since before we left for London. His jaw tenses when I tell him that I didn't want him to know, and his fists clench when I tell him that I was afraid he would be happy. He stays quiet and nods along until I tell him that I was going to keep it from him permanently. He pulls himself up on his elbows to move closer to me.
Why? Why would you do that?
I thought you would be happy, and I didn't want to hear that. I shrug. I would have rather kept it to myself than hear how relieved you were about it.
If you would have told me before London, things could have gone differently.
I snap my eyes to him. Yeah, worse, I'm sure. I hope he isn't taking this where I think he will. He better not be attempting to blame the mess in London on me. He seems to be thinking it over before speaking. Another improvement on his part.
You're right. You know you are right.
I'm glad I kept it to myself, especially before I knew for sure.
I'm glad you told me before anyone else.
His eyes are on mine. I told Kim. I feel slightly guilty that he had assumed he was the first person that I told, but he wasn't there for me. Hardin's brows knit together.
What do you mean you told Kim? When?
I told her it was a possibility a while ago.
So Kim knew and I didn't?
Yes, I nod.
What about Landon? Does Landon know too? Karen? Vance?
Why would Vance know? I snap at him. He's back to being ridiculous.
Kimberly probably told him. Did you tell Landon too?
No, Hardin. Only Kimberly. I had to tell someone, and I couldn't depend on you enough to tell you.
Ouch.
His tone is harsh and his frown overwhelming. It's true, I quietly say. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's true. You seem to forget that you didn't want anything to do with me until my father died.
Chapter 58. Hardin. Didn't want anything to do with her. I've loved this girl with every ounce of me for so long. I hate that she feels this way, that she has forgotten how deep my love for her is and has reduced it to this one fuck-up of mine. Not that I can blame her. It is my fault that she feels this way. I always wanted you. You know that. I just couldn't stop trying to ruin the only good thing in my life, and I'm sorry for that. I know it's fucked up that it took me so long, and I hate that it took your dad dying to get my ass in shape, but I'm here now. And I love you more than ever, and I don't care if we can't have babies. Desperate, not liking the look in her eyes, I impulsively add, marry me. She glares at me. Hardin, you can't just throw that around like that. Stop saying that. Her arms cover her chest as if she's protecting herself from my words.
Fine. I'll buy you a ring first. Harden!
She warns, lips pressed together in a tight line.
Fine.
I roll my eyes at her, and I think she wants to slap me.
I am so in love with you.
I promise, and reach for her.
Yeah, now you are.
She backs away, challenging me.
I've been in love with you for a long time.
Sure you have,
Tessa mumbles.
How can she be so fucking cute and obnoxious at the same time?
I loved you even when I was being a dumbass in London.
You didn't show it. And it doesn't matter how much you say it, if you don't remotely show it or make me feel the truth in your words.
I know. I was high out of my mind.
I pick at the annoying fraying fabric on my cast. How many more weeks until this thing is off?
You let her wear your shirt after you had sex with her.
Tessa looks away from me, focusing her eyes on the wall behind me.
What? What are you talking about?
I gently press my thumb under her chin to force her to look at me.
That girl, Mark's sister. Janine, I think I heard someone say.
I gape.
You think I fucked her? I told you I didn't. I didn't touch anyone in London. You say that, and yet you practically waved the condom in front of my face. I didn't fuck her, Tessa. Look at me.
I try to convince her, but she turns away again.